Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott's Diner.
Yes, yes, it is me, Gerald the Poopy.
Hey, this is Joe Gatto. And
this is Eric Young.
Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to
Shooting Poop.
Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer. Shut up. You're listening to Shoot the Shit podcast. Enjoy it.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Oh, look at us recording.
Sometimes I record. Sometimes I just don't have the energy for the other, so jerking off is the option. There's nobody to disappoint.
See,
that's the saddest old man shit I've ever heard.
No,
why not? But why not
is that
both?
Fucking sad, dude?
Why not both?
How do you not have the energy for that? I got one fucking good hit.
Because I'm 52 years old, bitch. When you get here, you'll understand. You're broke down at 40. Wait till you hit 52.
41, thank you. But...
Oh, sorry, 41. I apologize. But when you, like, you know, add another 10...
You guys fuck with the dick pills?
I do.
I don't.
Yeah, dude.
Blue chew.
Do you?
In my defense, I've been fucking with the dick pills since I was, like, 25.
I got on them like 3 years ago, 2 years, right around 2020. And boy, oh boy, Jesus Christ, those things are amazing.
Yeah, I was dating 19-year-old girls into my 30s, man. So I had to, you know, step up the game.
Yeah,
I was bullshit. I'm just completely making this shit up. Like,
I got the Tadalafil, though. I got the Cialis. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great. Nice. Anyway, not to go off topic.
Oh, we go off topic all the time. Who are you kidding?
Cheers to that then.
Yeah. But hey guys, as you can see, we are joined by Isaac from Such Good Shoot and
Science Hour for Intelligent Toddlers.
Yeah. Oh God.
I am waiting for an invite be a part.
I had no memory of that until I was watching episode 100. And you were we've got some hidden episodes, and I'm like, huh? Like, when did we do that? And just science.
As much as I loved our 100th episode, the one thing that I took from it was, I gotta be on that fucking show.
Man. Oh my God. Yeah.
I feel like the real me can like, you know, I'm a peacock, man. You gotta let me fly.
We'll let you. You can.
All right, Bolton Castle.
As long as you don't have to worry about, you know, like offending anyone. But we don't even have to let anyone else see it. All we have to do is go on there and just offend people who aren't listening.
I actually listened to the second episode, the first episode, which was
that just you and me?
The first one was just you and me because Jovan just straight up fell asleep.
That's right.
Completely down. And we were like busting his shit through the episode. But like...
Was he asleep while you were recording, or did he asleep and miss the recording?
He missed it.
Yeah, that would be way funnier if he was asleep while you were doing
it. Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
That would be fucking...
Technically, he was, but he was not on the broadcast.
So I was driving in my car, and I was playing it, listening to it. And like I legitimately had to like turn, like, you know... Sometimes you just turn that music down if you're in the right neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were talking about some shit, and I was like, "Oh, I'm fucking turning this down." There's people on the sidewalk right now that are looking at me funny because that shit was getting weirder by the minute. Episode one, Science Hour for Intelligent Toddlers. Episode one was called "Gay for Science."
We were gay for science. God.
And a correction to episode 100. Episode 2 of Science Hour for Intelligent Toddlers was Astrology.
Astrology.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like, Science Hour for Intelligent Toddlers, I could tell my Asian story and it would be okay.
Oh
God, I've got one too. Did I tell mine on there?
The fucking
when I make masturbation, I put a finger in my ass.
Yeah.
Does that make me gay?
That was on episode one.
Only if you grind into it. from what I understand. But that's
real question asked.
I can't really be
sure. A real human being I met in a real jail cell. And not
now,
even,
technically,
not exaggerated. That is exactly like you could go back and watch that episode. I don't even remember doing the episode.
But you guys got to send me the episodes. I will
guarantee you when I tell the story, it will be word for word. Sometimes when I make masturbation, I put a finger in my ass. That makes me
and I'm listening to the show back, and I actually have a response for this because I was going to bring it up, which is like. As I played it back, I was like, oh man, that's such a great point. But technically, it's not in that. No. It's not in the situation where it was presented. Like, for instance, you were incarcerated at that moment. Are you just gay for the stay? That doesn't make you truly gay.
No, I watched The Sopranos.
Yeah, I mean, so in current setting of being incarcerated at that particular time, all bets are off.
Dude, it's 2023. I mean,
ask Mike Tyson.
It's 2023, you know?
Baddest motherfucker on the planet, dude. Anybody gonna tell him he's gay?
Nah, he'll fuck you too. Love him.
Why are you looking at me, bitch? I'll come over there and fuck your ass, okay?
All right, are we doing that?
All right, intro?
All right, well, before we do that, guys, you all know this week has been pretty rough for us wrestling fans. We had the news, we're recording on a Thursday night. We had the news yesterday of Terry Funk passing away. And then I think we were all pretty shocked at what happened, the news that broke earlier today. And that is the fact that we lost Wyndham Rotunda, better known to us wrestling fans as Bray Wyatt. So before we go into the intro, just have a quick moment of silence for these two men who were such an important part of this thing we love called pro wrestling. So I'm going to put up a couple little graphics, and then we're going to go right to the intro. Let me get that back up here. Sorry about that. Where is it?
Shit in the bed, bud. Just shit in the bed. I thought I'd say it before you did, Joe.
Oh, it was coming.
Always so quick to point out when I mess up, so I see how it is.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, because we keep our mouth shut when everybody else does it.
Yeah. Oh no! Yeah, we're equal opportunity bed shitter.
Come on! Don't be sensitive.
I'm not being sensitive.
Okay, put your guys. He's wearing a suit. Put your scarf on.
All this fighting is tearing us apart.
What fighting? I'm good.
I love you. You guys ever heard of the one up sour gummy challenge? Have you ever heard of this thing?
No, but
all right,
now
oneupcandy.com. We're not getting paid for this, but I keep seeing this, and everyone's like, oh man, it's supposed to be more sour than Warheads. Comes in this box, they give you these two things here. It's six gummies. You're supposed to put three in your mouth at once, not make a face, 30 seconds. They give you a neutralizer, You're supposed to mix that in some fucking water, and then
hold on, man. Let me get my stopwatch on.
If it's too sour, this is what you're supposed to drink. I'm telling you right now, this is bullshit. We don't need.
We got the timer set.
We got the timer set. All right.
Someone's gonna die on this show tonight.
What we got here? It's a three gummy challenge. You're supposed to put three in your mouth. All right. It comes with six. God. It comes with six. All right.
Here we go. Wait. And go.
Oh my god. Okay, you're at 10.
You're struggling. We're halfway home. We're halfway home, baby.
Come on, baby. Let's almost there.
Here you go.
20 seconds.
10, keep it going. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
You are
two,
the fucking man,
Isaac.
One.
Yeah.
Yes. Fucking professional. Look at that.
30 minutes from now, we'll wake you up.
Not a grimace. How many milligrams were those?
I wish, bro. I got the 500 milligram chocolate bars in the freezer, though.
Oh, my God.
Saw.
Jeez.
That picture. The picture in the group chat. I was like, holy shit.
So I got a friend that lives down in Missouri, and they bought the THC-infused root beer.
Mm.
And then went home and made root beer floats.
Oh, yeah.
And I really want to do that.
Yep.
I can't wait till I hit the lottery so I can start smoking weed again. Mm. I miss it.
You know, all you need to be is unemployed, man.
Yeah, I know. And see,
I've seen plenty of people.
I did the unemployed thing. I mean, I had a job, but it wasn't a legal job. Hence the, you know, the felon jokes and all that stuff. But yeah, the CDL.
Yeah, they're serious about that.
Not the CDL now, man. So I can't.
Yeah, they're very serious.
If they ever make it legal federally, then I can drive and smoke. But right now, I can't.
Someday.
I have these little sporadic moments where I give in and smoke and then pray to God that a drug test isn't around the corner.
These are, it wasn't bad. That wasn't super sour. I mean, it was pretty sour. I honestly think if I popped in three warheads, it would hurt more than fucking three of those.
Yeah, dude, but sour isn't really my thing. I'm not really.
See, I can do sour. I can do sour pretty good, but
I'm not a huge sour guy myself either.
I can do I can do bong hits pretty good too.
Oh, we know that. As evidenced by your video you did for us on last week's 100th episode.
It's been a while, so it would take me a little bit to get my lungs conditioned again, but man, I love it.
I get it.
Once you start smoking out of a bong, dude, you really don't want to smoke out of anything else. I mean, just like that one big set you back token.
I'm just gonna take your word for it.
Dude, I would love to see you high as fuck. No. I feel like you'd be sitting in the living room.
I would love it too. All I know is that we would have
like 1 gallon container of Neapolitan ice cream in your lap.
Oh, I was gonna say it was gonna be a fucking. It was gonna
watching
be a,
Police Academy, laughing the, your ass off.
One of the Kirkland boxes of the fudgesicles, man.
First off, I don't need to get high to sit down and plow a 1 gallon.
No, I know. I
didn't watch Police
Academy. I know, but it would be more fun if you were. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, for
what about, me. What about?
Well, yeah, of course it'd be more fun for you.
Was it five? Was it Police Academy 5? Was that Mission to Moscow?
Yeah, that was 6.
Was it 6? He would know. Yeah,
five was Miami, I believe.
He's got
all I know is Mission to Moscow. Boom. Like, it was so dumb, but it has like one of the fucking funniest things to me, which was the whole, I'll be right there in the bathroom where the guy was just pretending to be fucking Commandant Lasard the whole time. And anytime anyone knocked on the door, it was just be there soon in the bathroom. And it kills me. I fucking love that movie.
Those big boobs. Gems.
I fucking rubbed so many out to those big ass titties.
Man.
Yeah. These kids, bro, they don't know how good they have it these days. I'll tell you what.
Nope.
You know, having to pause and rewind a goddamn VCR that you recorded off the TV.
True story. I have a cousin who's gay. And for the life of me, could not figure out because, you know, remember the original Terminator?
Mm-hmm.
the Linda Hamilton sex scene, right?
Yeah.
That would be,
that was, you know, when that movie came out, that was kind of my go-to.
It's a good one.
And then like one time, at one point, like the movie just split, like it just snapped. And I couldn't figure it out how the fuck I didn't, you know what I mean? Like rewind, you stop, just broke, right? Years later, like 10 years later, like I'm
like the tape broke?
Like the VHS tape broke. That's how, that's how much we, you know.
What? Yeah, so, okay.
So like 10 years later, I'm talking to my cousin and me and him are, you know, we're talking and shit. And like I say, I've had a lot of gay friends, so that's never really been an issue for me. And I remember him like coming out to me when he was like 16 or 17, me and me like, no shit, of course you were gay. Like, I know you're gay. I've known you were gay since you were 12. You just, you know, whatever. We got to talking about different shit. And he was like, he used to use the fucking, the Terminator.
Cause it's Kyle Reese's booty.
The same fucking scene. That's what it, between me and him, we wore that shit. Yeah,
you know, I get that. I would be there beating off to both. You know, why not? God damn, that's what life's all about. These kids in the internet, they could just find Christy Mack with, you know, like pretending to bang her stepbrother, and it takes 3 seconds to watch.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not building the resilience that we were given.
No.
I mean, shit, you think about like, you know, your parents and shit, and they're like sexting over a telegram, you know, like, you know, please rub my shoulder. Stop. unbutton my blouse. Stop.
Stop.
What are you wearing? Stop.
Stop. And like, wait, are you telling me to stop? Stop.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, it's too easy. It's too easy.
All right, man. What are we talking about?
Well, I obviously
porn, but okay, whatever.
Well, we could just listen to Isaac off air and he would talk about porn.
Well, you know, come on, off air we're talking politics, we're talking you know, famous American literature, the classics, great film
and budget,
great film and cinema. Yeah, you know, our plan for world peace. But on air, yeah, dude, it's all dick cheese and butt cracks, bro.
And the
that's an interesting combination, dick cheese and butt cracks.
Yeah, man.
So obviously, you know, we talked about at the beginning before we went into the intro video about the passing of Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt. I want to take a minute, let's talk about Terry Funk for a little bit. What was your favorite Terry Funk match, like, or moment?
I'll go first on this one, if you guys don't mind. I mean,
I know you're a Texas guy when it comes to wrestling, so
I know a lot of people, most wrestling fans go to, they, when they think of Terry Funk, they kind of pull up Randy Savage and they automatically go to the timeout match with Flair, which, don't get me wrong, was great. But for me, that's one of those things. It's like, you find something. There was more to him than just that. That was just like a 3 month stretch in his career where they brought him into WCW because Flair needed a heel. Mm-hmm. Because he, you know, they were flipping him face, and a couple people were injured back then. And I'm not saying that storyline wasn't great. I mean, Terry Funk pile driving Ric Flair through that table. I mean, nobody'd seen anything like that before.
That was the first time. I think that was the first table spot ever.
And so most of your vanilla average wrestling fans are going to go right to that and talk about how, you know, that was one of the highlights. But for me, I don't think I appreciated Terry. He was so good at what he did that you just fucking hated him. Like, you really... Uh-huh. Like, my hate for Terry Funk early on was on par with my current hate for Jeff Jarrett.
And that's saying something.
That's severe hate. Well, dude, I'm a hardcore Dusty Rhodes mark.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Terry Funk beat up my guy. Dusty Rhodes was my fucking superhero, and Terry Funk beat the shit out of him every chance he got. But watching what he did with ECW and that locker room, and going there knowing that, I mean, that could have been a big fucking slow flush. You know, I mean, nobody knew ECW was going to be punk, you know, punk rock. Nobody knew what was going to happen there. And I think I remember his first pay-per-view there, like the match he was in was like him, King Kong Bundy, Animal or Road Warrior Hawk, and I can't even remember who the fourth one was, but it was just like a hodgepodge of like 80s, you know, legends at that time. And that's when they were just kind of throwing shit against the wall and figuring it out. And I mean, you don't have Tommy Dreamer, you don't have the Dudleys, you don't have
The Sandman.
You don't have
Raven.
And to be completely honest,
Mick Foley.
That was what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah, like, I mean,
as talented as Mick Foley was,
that was the biggest rub he got up until Triple H and Taker, really, in the cell.
Yeah. Like him, you know, Terry was just. And then not just that, too, but from that era, like, I mean, you're talking about my teens, man. I mean, that was mid-80s, you know, the 80s into the early 90s before shit got crazy, and it was the Attitude Era, and he was Chainsaw Charlie and, you know, getting fucking hematomed into a fucking dumpster and half fucking dead by that point, man. I mean, the fact that guy worked, and I mean, when him and Mick Foley were tag team champions, he was 54 years old.
Well, yeah. I mean, I said it when I heard it, and, you know, it's, you know, I think dark humor is a good way to deal with shit sometimes, but it's like, well, I guess he's finally fucking retired, you know, like,
he wasn't, man. Like, he went another 10 or 12 more years. He kept shows for the House of Hardcore with
Tommy Dreamer.
And I think I heard a story today where at one point, he was supposed to do a spot with Tommy Dreamer for AEW here very recently, but they couldn't get him on a plane. Like, he just physically couldn't do it.
Wow.
So, I mean.
Yeah, no, he would have. I mean, he's the guy.
And then him in Japan, dude. I mean, think of what he accomplished. I mean, as big as he is here.
Everywhere he went, he mattered.
As big as he is here in Japan right now. Dude, they're just, you know, telling stories about the crazy fucking cowboy from America, dude. I mean, just him screaming, Japan's the greatest forever. Just, you know, I think one of the best stories I heard today was Mick Foley was talking about the best match he ever had was with Terry Funk in front of 150 people. But the Japanese media was there. And by the end, I mean, they just beat each other bloody. And
was that the death match, the IWA death match?
I think so. Yeah, I kind of caught it. It was part of Busted Open After Dark last night. I kind of listened to it. And Foley said by the time the match was over, like, they were crawling towards each other and just like embracing. And, you know, he was doing his Terry voice and, you know, talking about Terry just kept repeating respect over and over and over, and Foley made the remark, like, he goes, to me, that was the perfect ending of the match. Like, this was like the biggest moment of my career up to that point. And he said, Terry leaned in, he goes, pile drive me.
Yep. I've heard that story before.
Yep.
And so he dropped him on his head, man, and got massive heat and left. And that's what everybody talked about. It was just like, he was so in tune with the fans and knew the psychology so well that even when he didn't even start doing that back moonsault bullshit until he was in his 40s.
Yeah. And that's my thing with Terry. And I think that leads in careful there, pal, that leads, I think, into, you know, two moments for me that, you know, it's not really a match, but it's like two moments of him recognizing what needs to be done in that moment. And, you know, one of them was in ECW, and it's the first, like, just, I don't know if it's even like it's like one of the first viral videos I remember seeing on the internet. And
I think I know exactly
it's the chairs. It's the chairs.
Yep.
And he gets hit, and it's not with a crazy shot, but it's with enough for him to sell it. And he fucking sells the hell out of it and gets the
hell out of the way.
Yeah.
And it, it's one of those moments where it's like, that is one of the most iconic ECW moments.
It is the most iconic ECW moment. To me, that's what put ECW on the map. When you watch the old, back before, like when they did the satellite commercials.
Yep.
That was a part of every ECW promo or clip, mm-hmm. no matter what pay-per-view they were promoting. That spot was there.
And him getting bonked with that fucking chair.
Watch it again. He's waiting. He's fucking waiting for that spot, right? Yeah. He's waiting to get hit so he can do it. And he gets hit, and it's just like a little, like nothing. Like not even, because it was flying there, but it was just like real slow. Yeah.
He does the big wobble
and just says, fuck it.
Yeah.
It does that. Like the Ric Flair flop almost.
He just scooches himself right under the bottom rope, and he's like wobbly, rolls off the table, and you just see him get up, and he's like, oh, shit, okay, and just takes off. That's a wrap.
And
I loved it.
And yeah, and that's one of the things is like he just understood. And I think the other moment, which was, you know, even more brilliant because of the circumstance, you know, was Hell in a Cell. I mean, that is always the first thing I think of when I think of Terry Funk getting choke slammed out of his shoes. and you watch it back, and I mean, it's kind of like a Mandela effect. He doesn't actually get choked, so he kicks him off after. Yeah. But it's so fucking smooth, and it looks so good, mm-hmm. and like there's so much going on, and it's like the perfect amount of like just like him being there, and it was just real enough because you know that he has this real relationship with Foley, and that this is all still make believe, but like this is kind of real, and something about that like it sort of sold that even more than everything else already. And yeah, I just think he's one of those guys that he understands the business, you know, like to the point where he doesn't like, he doesn't even have to think about anything, you know, it's just what he does and what he is. It's like, you know, breathing.
It was his art form, man.
Yeah. It was just breathing for him. It was just what he did.
And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that spot like called on the fly to like help buy Foley some recovery time?
Yeah.
Oh, and him out of the shoes.
Yeah, and fucking Undertaker had a broken ankle for that shit.
Yep.
Because we could do a whole show
on Hell in a Cell, bro. We could do a whole.
Have you watched that? By the way, and not to take it off, but have you watched like they did a sit down with Mick Foley and Taker?
Yeah,
and they watched the whole match.
They had that, and then they did the tour that Foley went on for like the 20 years and the anniversary of that. And I actually went to the very first show. Crystal actually bought us tickets to go to that. And it was just fascinating just listening to him tell the stories about it. He always talks about just how much Terry, you know, meant to him and just everything. And all the stories I heard about Terry Funk, about how he was selfless and giving. And like, I know, Bully Ray had a story talking about like when he went over to Japan with the ECW guys, it was like a three-way with him, the Sandman, and Terry Funk. And he said Funk came up to him and said, what do you want to do, young boy? And like Bully was taken aback because, you know, he's the young guy here, you know, and he's got, you know, Terry Funk coming to him asking what he wanted to do. And it's just everybody that they brought on to talk about Funk said the same thing. One of the most selfless, caring, giving guys in the business. And it's just, not only was he a great wrestler, but he was a great actor, too. I mean, you think about a couple of movies that he was known for, you know, Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, and then Over the Top.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, and then also Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. I mean, not only did he kick ass in the ring, but he also kicked ass in Hollywood. And
he actually was a pretty good actor.
He was.
Over the Top,
He played the same role in every movie that he was in, but he was Terry Funk, and Terry Funk was a legit tough son of a bitch, badass, all heart, man, all fucking heart. Beyond the Mat, like I remember watching that when it came out, and just like at the end of it when he's like, you know, they matches over, that they pulled the pay-per-view off, and he's waving at his wife in the crowd, yelling, "Honey, we did it!" You know, I mean, just it meant.
Yeah,
this business has meant so much to him.
And that was actually one of my favorite Terry Funk moments is when he beat Raven for the ECW championship. I thought that was just such a great moment. And then also, too, another match that I think it should get a lot more love than it does is the empty arena match he had with Jerry Lawler in 81. I found a Jerry Lawler Blu-ray at a disc replay like a couple years ago, and I was looking at it, and I had never seen the empty arena match. But once I saw that it was on this set, I'm like, I have to get it. And that was the first thing I did when I went home is I watched that match and I'm thinking, this is so damn cool. You know, they did this, you know, almost 20 years before The Rock and Mick Foley did.
Got The Rock and Mick Foley empty arena matches. One of my all-time favorite matches. It might be one of the most entertaining matches I've ever seen. And thank God for Funk, like, paving that path for him. But Jesus Christ, man. When Rock answering the phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like he's like both of them. So good. So good. But yeah.
Joe, you're an ECW guy. What do you got?
Yeah.
Well, listen to you fucking mongoloids chatter on. DDJ had to jump in before I could say anything. No, I mean, the two things, I'm just going to keep it quick because I'm ready to roll on with something else. The I Quit match against Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Fan-fucking-tastic. I watch that match. It's stiff as fuck. Like, it really is. I mean, as much as we, like, you know, everybody loves Ric Flair and, you know, his chops and everything. You want to see Ric Flair really chop the fuck out of somebody? Watch that match. Because he laid those chops in on Terry, and Terry just returned every single fucking one of them. It was amazing.
The story was, is while he was doing that, Terry was calling him a pussy.
Yeah.
Come on, you pussy.
Come on, pussy.
Sorry, dude. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. No, fucking, yeah, like, that match is great. And then, April 13th, 1997, 53-year-old Terry Funk in the main event for Barely Legal, the first ECW pay-per-view. If that pay-per-view doesn't go off the exact way it does, there is no ECW and everything fucking changes. And Terry Funk came in and fucking just tore it down. And I forget, like, it's not just that title match. He had the three-way match prior to that.
Yep.
It was two matches.
And they were back-to-back.
Yeah, so it was the three-way dance with Sandman and Stevie Richards.
Yep.
And the winner of that got an immediate title shot against Raven. And I mean, it was just a perfect fucking ending to that show.
And also
Bardio.
And Joey K, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't originally supposed to be Tommy Dreamer, but Tommy Dreamer gave Funk his spot in that match?
I think I heard that. I don't know if that's 100%, but fuck, man, like, it's like, ECW doesn't happen the way it does without that. Like,
agreed.
You know, him and Foley in Japan in the fucking death match, the IWA shit. Like,
him and Sabu in the barbed wire match.
I mean, they're fucking. There are so many instances. He's one of the greatest of all time. You know, it's sad, but he lived a very long life and had a amazing career.
Yeah.
And what's even sadder is today's news of finding out the passing of Bray Wyatt, who's only 36, and you really feel like, god damn, like, his best years were probably still to come, you know. And that to me is probably a little more depressing than the news of Terry.
It hits a little bit closer to home.
You know, he's
younger than all of us.
Yeah, he's younger than all of us. He's got a lot of young kids, man. Yeah, and it's like, that's tough, man. That one really fucking sucks. That's a guy who is the, in my opinion, once in a lifetime, no better storyteller in the past 15 years of pro wrestling. And fuck, man, like, it's just, it sucks because, like, every iteration of his character in the WWE has been, like, wildly unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were some misses on some stuff. Yeah, of course. But they were trying so much out of the box shit with him. And it would have been laughed out of the fucking building if it weren't for that person who put everything into those characters.
And I think, honestly, I think a big part of that too is like every one of them was so close. I mean, just a couple of different finishes, you know, like to change the trajectory of what that character could have been and, you know, like what route it could have taken. And, you know, to see him never truly get the shot that he should have gotten is really hard, you know, because you look at it and you look at the shit they did at WrestleMania with Bliss and Randy Orton or whatever and all these different fucking things, and like there's just so many missed opportunities.
Well, and, yeah, it's just one sad. Of the one of the first things, first matches I pulled up on Peacock when after while I was eating dinner after I got home from work tonight was as I watched that the Firefly Funhouse match from WrestleMania 36, and I enjoy it for what it was.
A lot of people really liked that. That was, like, I
enjoyed it way more than I thought I would remember when I was watching it live and stuff when it aired originally. But I mean, it was just so like, just kind of almost like, you know, it was a retrospective basically of John Cena's career. And I really liked the stuff when they focused on what happened at 30 and stuff. You know, I talked about how Bray should have been like, that should have been my time or something, you know, and that's basically when he called Cena out for being selfish and stuff, which, you know, a lot of people would agree at the time because that should have been Bray's moment. He should have went over at WrestleMania 30, you know, because yet, like I said, he goes over Cena at Mania. Who knows what, you know, we're talking about it, like he's way up here, you know, at that point. Because, I mean, you beat John Cena at WrestleMania back in that day when Cena was still in his prime.
I think that's almost more of an upset than Lesnar beating Taker at that one, honestly. Yeah.
And Bray, too, was such a good guy. Like, if you've ever gotten a chance to, you know, interact with him out of the ring, I know I've seen lots of people posting pictures with him. There was one that I saw, I think, on either Facebook or Twitter or something. Like, you know, some guy posted a picture. I think it was in a Facebook group. I mean, posted a picture of his kid with Bray Wyatt, like, at a Walmart, like, about, I want to say it was, like, 2-3 months ago and stuff, you know. And just my own personal experience meeting him. He was at Wizard World back in, I think it was 2014. Crystal had gotten me a meet and greet with him and Paige as our, you know, wedding anniversary. It was our first wedding anniversary. He was ended up being like way late. He was supposed to start at 3. He didn't get in until it was like about, I think it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. It was because he had multiple flight delays and everything. And he was determined to get there. And like for the people that waited for him, He made it worth our while. Like when he got there, he was running up and down the lines, you know, high fiving everybody, shaking hands, hugging and stuff. And when he got up to talk to him, you know, most of the time when you go to those conventions, it's like you get your autograph, you may get like two words in, and then the handler like pushes you off so they can get through the next person. It's like he took a little bit of time to like, you know, talk with everybody for a couple of minutes, I think, to kind of make good, and then, you know, get in the picture with him and stuff. And it's just such an amazing experience, and it's just. We always talk about how we can't take life for granted. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago when I had a friend pass away who was in his mid-30s as well too. But just anytime you see stuff like this, it just, man, you really can't take life for granted and stuff. And it's a shame because, like you said, his best years were ahead of him. He had a mind unlike anybody else out there. His knack for telling stories was second to none. And it's just, you know, you think about with him. What could have been?
I mean, what else can you say? Honestly, it's, I mean, it's the definition of tragic. It really is tragic.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, you feel for, you know, his brother, Bo, his wife, JoJo, his kids, his father, you know, Mike Rotunda, his uncle, you know, Barry Windham. And stuff, and it's sad just because he still had so much to give, you know, and for the wrestling business, and it's just, you know, we'll never get to see it again because it's just it's sad. Like you said, it's It's the epitome. Like if you were to go look at to see a picture in Webster's dictionary of like a tragic tragedy, you would probably see some like Bray Wyatt's picture on there because it really is, because it can just see it so much. There should have been so much more.
Yeah, no, there was a lot more to that. A lot more of the story to be told. It wasn't supposed to end like that.
And it's just, I love seeing the pictures that, like, a lot of people posting pictures of, you know, Bray and Brody Lee, and they're, you know, up to, you know, back together and, you know, up in heaven and stuff, which is just really cool because we all know those two are very close. And I believe Bray patterned his entrance when he came back at Extreme Rules last year after Brody Lee, you know, with the door and everything. And that was his way of paying tribute. And it's just, you know, it's really sad because, again, just you want to talk about someone who's like who should still be here, whose life was taken way too soon. This is it right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody else got anything else to?
That's too much sad, man. I'm sorry.
You know what, Isaac?
It's a lot. It's a lot,
Isaac.
And you know what are we gonna do? What are you gonna do? Do you want to?
You know what we're gonna do? Let's fun it up, Isaac.
Okay. Okay, let's fun it up. Are we going to do it? Are we doing the game show? Is it time? All right, ladies and gentlemen.
What a segue.
we're gonna try and liven things up a little bit here.
A 10 bell salute. Now we're going to play charades. All right.
Yeah. We're gonna try.
There was no 10 bell salute. I was asked not to do a 10 bell salute.
You're more told not to do. I was trying to. It is not good on the audio.
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice.
Well, yeah. Well, let's do our little a little game show called I'll Guess That Theme Song. So we'll do this here. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Isaac. Welcome to Guess That Theme Song. Today's contestant, we've got BDJ, otherwise known as Hammercock. We've got Joey Big Balls and Sean the Gray Guy. All right. So the way this works, everybody, is I've got 10 clips. Plus a bonus clip, just in case there's a tiebreaker. We're going to do the bonus clip anyway, so we're just going to call it 11, but bonus makes
it
sound.
Can we just say DDJ more wins and just listen? Can we just do that?
Hey, whatever happens, we're going to guess. We're going to write down our answers, and whoever gets the most at the end of this.
You got to write?
Bro, I sent this message like 8 times. You got your cell phone there. You got your cell phone there.
I'm just gonna type.
There you go. Just type them out. Just type them out. And if you
get if you need any help spelling out the big words, Joe, just
yeah, bro. Just you. I got you, brother. Okay. So we're gonna play it. We're gonna play the clips. You're gonna listen. We'll play them a couple times to make sure you get them. You're gonna lock in your answers. We'll check your answers. We'll see who got it right. We'll see who got it wrong. And we'll see how bad everyone loses to DDJ.
And the winner gets a Colt Cabana t-shirt.
And the winner can take home this beautiful, beautiful official shooting shit shirt with all your favorites on.
Oh, look at that.
Even the guy who didn't show up tonight.
So
the Jewish Jovan. My brother in religious studies.
Hey, speaking of Jovan, let's give him a quick shout out. He's in the process of getting ready to relocate to Detroit, man. So we love you, Jovan, man. Safe travels and get there safely, man.
He's gonna live.
I can handle the D. It's Jovan.
He's gonna be living actually kind of close to Shane.
Shane's in Columbus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not too far. He's like a couple hours, I think. So, all right. Joey ran away, so he's gone.
Still there?
He's here. Oh, okay. So his balls are out. Gotcha. So that's what's happening is Joey's big balls are blacked out the camera, much like an eclipse.
And we're back.
All right, guys. So This first one I'm going to play you. I think
you'll get your Etch-a-Sketch. So you
Think with you guys, I think with this crowd here, I think this one should be pretty easy. Shane missed this one. Shane's a little bit younger than us. So I think
a little bit.
So hopefully you guys can hear this all right, because this is as loud as it gets. So crank your speakers if you have to. But here we go. Number one. That's 3 seconds. Are you ready? I'm going to play it again. Oh, that's not it. You know what that one is. That one is the easy one, so nobody feels stupid. So that's number one, all right?
I don't know who that is.
Lock in your answers, ladies and gentlemen. We can play it again. It's funky. I gave you a hint that it's an older generation wrestler. Maybe one that Shane probably...
Wait, do you want the name of the song or the wrestler?
Just the wrestler. Yeah, just the wrestler who used it. If you know the name of the... If you know the name of the song...
The song or the wrestler?
No, he can show off. Let him show off. It's just, you know... Come on, man.
Tell us what fucking episode it debuted on, yeah.
Don't be a hater, Sean.
All right, I'm going to play it one more time.
Not a hater, dude. Not a hater.
Just... All right. All right. If you don't know, you don't know. If you know it, you've got it locked in by now. This is very good. So DJ, I'm pretty sure, has this one.
Honestly, this is just a guess.
Okay, well, here we go. It's just a guess. Let me know when you all have your answers locked in. Until then, I will continue doing this.
All right, whatever.
All right. All right. DDJ, what do you have here? Oh, my goodness. Yes, that is the Junkyard Dogs theme song.
Grab them cakes.
Yeah. All right. No, we didn't get those. Okay.
I thought Junkyard Dogs theme song was another one, Bites the Dust.
Originally, it was.
That is the WWF theme song right there, the one that they started using. So here we go with number two. Now, Shane missed this one too, because I don't think Shane watches enough AEW. So.
Come on.
See, he missed this one. He missed this one immediately.
Also, he must really not watch AEW.
That's a song from one of my favorite artists. It's on my phone. So,
All right. I saw how quick that happened. See, now you don't feel quite as dumb. You're feeling a little smarter now, aren't you?
Well, the first one I had to take a guess at because, yes.
What was your guess, by the way?
So my first thought was exactly what Sean said. Like, in my head, that theme song was not that theme song. It's the dust, right? That's what my thought was. But obviously, it's the 80s, and it had to be an African-American performer because they're not putting that unless it was Akeem the African
King. Or Dusty.
But my guess was Coco Beware. I just went 80s African American.
That's a very good guess.
That was a solid guess.
It was.
Honestly, I wasn't sure if I was going to guess that. I thought about Coco Beware as well, too. I'm going to just say JYD because that sounds really.
Yeah, it was funky like that.
It's okay. You knew it, dude. Nobody's buying that you didn't know that.
Do we need to hit number two again, or is everyone good on
that? I'm locked in for two.
Yeah, I got an answer. It's wrong.
All right. What do we got here?
I got Sunny Kiss.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Two here.
I see two hooks.
Yeah.
I see DDJ and I see Joey K. Hook is the right answer. And it's very funny because that is an intro that has nothing to do with the way the song itself sounds.
I know, right?
Which is good. So here's one I think everyone's going to get. I already hinted at it before. This one I put in there because I really wanted to make sure that everyone at least got one right. I think that one's. I don't need to play it too many times.
CM Punk, right?
Is that the Orange Cassidy thing?
Yeah, dude. OC. All right. I don't think I need to play that one again. I think we all know what that is.
I think we're all on board with this.
That's Judas. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. All right. We're all on the board now. We're all on the board. We're all winning now. All right. So actually, we're gonna go. We're gonna go into number four now. I figured need to even the gender roles up a little bit. Dude, your fingers are moving too fast, bro.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
Incredible. Incredible. I love this, man.
He's going to act like he doesn't know it.
Oh, I ain't going to act like I know this one. I'm locked in.
Locked in. DDJ, man, you're killing it. I got Mickey James, and Mickey motherfucking James. Oh my goodness, guys! All right, so right now,
that little skip and hop down there. I remember
we got DDJ.
She's a hell of a singer, by the way.
I don't know.
DDJ, you're going for the clean sweep right now. You're 4 for 4. Yeah. We got Sean the Gray Guy with 2, and we got Joey K in second place with 3. Right now, the score to beat Shane. I did this as a practice run with Shane. He got 6 out of the 11 right. Score to beat right now is 6. DDJ, you're railing your way. Number 5. We're going into number 5 here. Now, number 5, I think you all might get because who? I mean, come on. We were talking about stuff like this earlier. Classic. Classic banger.
That is a banger.
Oh my god. It's such a good intro too.
One of my absolute favorite bands. I literally have every album they made. So
that's very fun.
Are we good?
That's awesome. I'm locked in. Here's the thing is I would never get this. Once I told you, I would get it. But so far, the only ones I would absolutely have gotten would have been fucking Judas, because I'm fucking just so bad at this shit. But But yes, this right there is everyone's favorite thong wearing badass Lita.
Oh, I thought it was Drake Bell. Oh.
No, that's So we got all right. We're coming into number 6 now. We're going back a little bit now. I think let's see here. Now that's 80s.
You just slow it down?
No, it does that.
DDJ.
So,
come on, Sean, at least try.
Okay. That was close. You were almost, you were really close. You were close, man. One, if you had changed that last letter, I probably would have given it to you. not that letter. Not that. All right. Anyone need any more time?
No. One more?
Huh? One more time?
One more time for me.
One more time for you. All right, I got you. One more time, nice and slow.
It's definitely something from the '80s, like Tom Slinger, the fucking Strike.
Eighties through the '90s, though, he definitely wrestled in WWF through '96 for sure. And I guess that might have been around the end in WWF was '96. I don't think he wrestled '97 there.
No, he didn't.
I think '96 was the end, and him sort of exiting was the real. Rocket to the moon for a certain person. Done. Anyway. All right. One more time. Everybody good? Are you ready?
Max Moon.
Max Moon.
Max Moon.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Solid answer.
This is one Jacob the Snake of Roberts.
Oh, you know what, dude? It's been so long since I heard Jake's theme music. I would be fucking surprised if I remembered that shit.
Right? Hey, man. Last time I heard it was on Raw 100 or Raw 1000 or whatever.
Old school Raw.
Yeah, the one where he came out and they did this shit with the shield and the snake. Yep. And that was fun.
Dean Ambrose is out in the ring with a big smile on his or grin on his face.
Wrestling.
And that was such an awesome moment because nobody saw it coming.
Yeah, it was like it was the only people I think who sort of thought it, like, I knew he was coming out because of DDP and all that shit. Like, I knew he was going to be there. But when it got to the end of the show, I was like, fuck, he's not there. And then he came out and I was like, oh man, they got me.
Did you ever see the documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, when they're all at the home watching it and he comes up and just how they go crazy at DDP's house? It's such a cool moment.
I mean, the whole thing, man. Yeah. I mean, DDP, one of the real life fucking saints.
He's a real hero.
You look at him, you look at guys like him, and you know, you look like guys like him and Mick Foley. You'll never find anyone saying anything bad about them ever. Like, same with Terry. No one will ever say anything bad about those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to number seven next. Number seven. So we just had Jake Roberts with the DDT. Now we're going to a new wrestler. Now this is Shane got this immediately. I don't know how, but God damn it. DDJ got it immediately too. That's
good, man. He's wrestling's Rain Man.
It's incredible. The wrestling Rain Man.
Ready.
Ooh, all right. All right. Oh, he's right. Are you writing out all of this? All right, let's go.
He's got the date, the time it aired.
Let's go. What do we got?
What
show? To the second.
What hand is this? Which hand he had on his dick when he came out?
Two Randall Ortons. God damn, you guys are good at this. So, DDJ, you have surpassed Shane. Joey, you have tied him. And as far as I can tell...
I'm just glad to be here, bro. I'm just glad to be here.
I would have gotten Jake Roberts and I would have gotten Judas. So you and I are tied at two, buddy. I'm right there with you, man. You and I. And I made the fucking test, okay? I made it. I still got 2 points.
Easily my favorite Randy Orton theme song of all time, which is why I knew it in one note.
Well, so you like thing.
So you're more of a Burn in My Light than Voices?
Fuck yeah, fuck Voices. I hate that song. I fucking love Burn in My Light. That was
love.
I know Randy hates it. List. I know Randy fucking hates it too. He hates fucking
he likes
Voices. He prefers.
I know that Shane wants desperately one more run of Randall Keith with that theme song. That's what he wants.
Did you guys ever know that? You know how CM Punk used, I think it was This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage, like that Orton used it for like a cup of coffee in the WWF before they gave it to Punk.
Yeah, it's like the Patriot, and then Kurt Angle, and
yeah,
they gave that song to like three different people before Kurt Angle got it and made it iconic. It's so funny how like that song became so iconic for him because of the You Suck chants because of Edge. Like, it's incredible. Like, they used it over and over again, and it just stuck with him with that. All right, so we're going to number eight, another old school one. This one would be the third one I would absolutely get.
I should know that one.
You should. Yeah, you really should.
It sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, I know who that is. Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, you hear that, and they're already coming to the ring. They're already coming to the ring, and you're like, yeah. Are we all on board? Are you all ready? Say it
with me. The Ultimate Warrior.
All right, we got it. Okay, 1, 2, 3, baby.
You misspelled it.
You got a half point off.
You misspelled it.
It's okay.
I didn't misspell it.
Eyes can read.
Better Google that shit.
you better pull out your encyclopedia, Dick Kanica. let's see. Okay, you guys killed it on that. We're going to one that I would never get, and I loved this guy. I loved this guy when I was a kid, when I was younger. So I'll never get it. DDJ, if you get this one, I'll actually be very impressed. God damn it! Right off the bat,
dude. Of course,
right off the bat. You know, it's incredible. It's incredible.
He's one of my favorites and more like underrated talents from the Attitude Era.
Yeah, one of the most. Yes, I would never get it though. But yeah, let's go. Let's see. We got two people. Ken Shamrock's. Man, do you guys.
Ken Shamrock was not underrated. He sucked.
I beg to differ on that. He's extremely underrated.
I think the two most underrated talents of those couple of years were Ken Shamrock and Steve Blackman.
Thank you.
Honestly, Steve Blackman, fuck man, that guy was awesome. I love
that. I don't understand why you and DDJ are so close, buddy.
Dude, he still won't let me. I mean, okay, now you know what? Let's move on to number 10. All right, this is the last
one. Was that 9 or 10?
That one was number 9. Ken Shamrock was number 9.
Okay.
Yeah, you're at 9 for 9, DDJ. You're sitting here at a pretty 9 for 9. So here comes number 10. I think you'll get this one too. Man, look how quick he is. Look how quick he is. How are you guys not using this to make money somehow? This should easily be making you guys a cool like $800 a week off of this shit, going to wrestling trivia competitions and just killing people.
And that's how I became friends with Mark Henry, was at a wrestling trivia competition. Ask Sean. He was there when I introduced him.
God damn, man.
Yeah, I was there when he introduced me to him.
kind of in the definition, bud.
You big goofy teddy bear. Of course I was there when you introduced me to him.
Yeah, Sean, he was there.
I was there when you introduced me to him.
I love you guys.
I fucking hate you too.
God damn, yeah. I love all of you.
Why is that my fault?
Hey, play that again. I don't know who that is.
Fuck, man. This is another one that I would never get because I don't watch AEW. All right, DDJ, tell us who it is. 10 for 10.
Is that Doctor, for, is well, Doctor, there's a good reason why I don't know what her theme music is.
Fucked, yeah. Hey.
I'm too busy.
Okay. Looking at those perfect teeth. Okay, so here's the bonus one for DDJ to see if you can get the full clean sweep and earn this beautiful shirt off my body. Here's the deal. If you get the bonus right, I'll nut in this shirt. I won't wash it, and I'll mail it to you.
Oh, he's already done that, DDJ.
Speaking of which, you know why the semen crossed the road?
No.
Because I put on the wrong sock this morning.
Hi-yo!
All right.
You just know that shirt's going to end up in a case on the wall.
Winner take all on this. Fuck you, DDJ. You fucking mongoloid. This is winner take all now.
Okay, you guys want to do that? You want to go?
Let's do that.
DDJ, you already won. You're 10 for 10. I think you're going to get this one right because, of course, you are. This is a little bit of a tricky one, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get it. So let's see. Here we go. Ah, see how quick his fingers stopped there?
Nah, he knows what it is.
I know, but there's maybe.
Dad.
All right, Run. Everybody.
Ready?
Pretty good. Let's see what people have here. Razor Ramon.
I had to think about it for a second because I know Mick Foley starts out similar to Mankind with the and stuff, but
it is very much the same beginning and is very difficult to discern. If it had been a 2 second one, it would have been nearly impossible because Mick Foley's is shorter. His crash is shorter because it's like I always thought of a mix of Razor Ramon and then Stone Cold's Glass Break. It's like a mix of those two.
All right, now for a bonus question. Ask us something that normal people who don't always just watch wrestling would know.
How are babies made?
DDJ?
When you get a mommy and a daddy together.
He wasn't there. He doesn't know.
Not necessarily.
When you're sitting, when you're hanging out,
he was introducing you, Sean. So how
you're hanging out in the basement, and your wife comes down and says, "Hey, there was a miracle."
Yeah. For me, it usually started with, "Nah, we don't need to use a condom."
For me, it's always, "Hey, you know."
Sean, for you, I thought it started like, "Hey, I just got out of jail yesterday." So,
mine was Chris, mine.
Man, I didn't really start going to jail until I was in my 30s. So, like,
I was
back in 1974.
I was still in my 20s. Fucker. Yeah, with me, with my kids, it's always funny because it's, you know, it's like I learned so much with every single one. Like, that just because I'm white and she's white doesn't mean the baby has to be white. It could be Chinese. It's wild, bro. I've had, Chinese, black, a lot of kids, a lot of different colored kids. I just don't know how it works, but, you know, genetics are crazy, man.
Makes a crazy thing.
So yeah. God does beautiful shit.
All right.
You guys killed it.
Yeah.
11.
That was fun.
11 for 11, DDJ. I don't know why I ever doubted you. I next time it's going to be all New Japan themes.
Well, we'll give it a shot sometime.
Yeah,
but
I'll get
we're 65 minutes in. What do you guys say? We wrap it up and hit final thoughts.
I think that's
great. I can't take 10 more minutes of fucking blathering about sad shit. So I'm going to go first. Losing Terry Funk yesterday was tough just because I feel like that era of guys and those people we're constantly having to say goodbye to shit. And the older I get, the more I have to do that. And that just fucking sucks. You know, I'm at that age now where I'm not getting new shit anymore. Now it's old, you know, I'm having to say goodbye to shit, and that's fine. That's a part of life. But, you know, when you see a guy like Bray Wyatt, who was just fucking tailor-made for this business that we love so much. And for me, he was so many different things. He was Jake, and he was a little Mick Foley. And he was a little Terry Funk. And he was just so fucking cool. I mean, Bray Wyatt was cool. You know, the tattoos, the dreads. I mean, he was the kind of dude that when he walked into a bar, you just automatically went, "I'm going to buy that dude a PBR and hope that he talks to me." Because he just looked like the kind of guy that just, I don't know, man. Just, and then when you think about the fact that two out of the three members of the Wyatt family are gone. And that's just shitty. It's just fucking shitty. And I don't know why it bothers me as much as it bothered me today, but it's really bothered me. So, and the guy's got like babies, you know, just I'm gonna miss that dude. I'm gonna miss watching him. There's so much untapped potential, and everything he did was just, even the dumb corny shit with like the Firefly Funhouse shit. Like, I wasn't a big fan of that, but it was always entertaining and it was always good. But I remember watching him, and I think it was his first Rumble, and thinking, man, why aren't they pushing this guy? This guy is just everything that an 18 to 30 year old male would want to be or see, or, you know, I mean, he was just, yeah, I'm going to miss you.
That's all I got, man. Sorry.
You're on mute.
Don't be sorry, man. That's some real shit. We love you, man. That's some real shit. I feel it. And I think anybody who's lost people and things they care about understands that. I certainly do. Yeah, I mean, I think my last thought, I'll piggyback off that. I'll try and, you know, bring it a little more positive. I just hope, you know, that all the wrestling fans, you know, can continue to come together in moments that aren't like this. You know, we always see people talking shit back and forth, and you know, I get it. You know, it's like Yankees, Red Sox. It's fucking Celtics, Lakers.
Yeah,
it's AEW. It's WWE. But at the end of the day, you know, you're a basketball fan, or you're a football fan, or you're a wrestling fan, and wrestling is a really special. I don't even know what to call it, right? You know, it's a sport, it's a form of entertainment, it's a TV show, it's a movie, it's live action entertainment. You know, it's all these different things wrapped into one that can entertain, you know, little kids up to old ladies and old people, you know, and it sucks when the moments that bring us together are these ones. You know, I think it would be nice if when AEW sells out Wembley, WWE fans say, that's fucking awesome. Good job, guys. Like, this is good for wrestling. And when WWE sells 90,000 tickets to WrestleMania in fucking half an hour, AEW fans are saying that, you know, no more, oh, look at the hard cam side shit, you know, like,
yeah.
In the end, like, these people are going out there, and every day they're putting their bodies and their lives on the line. It's just so we can fucking have a little break from our fucking, just the awful daily bullshit that we're forced to go through just to get a little bit of food in our belly and not fucking get rain on our heads while we sleep, right? You know, and like, these are the moments, and you know, like Bray Wyatt and Brody, you know, like, it doesn't matter where they worked, doesn't matter who they worked for, what, you know, like, what matters is that they were people who did something that mattered to us and that we loved, and that, you know, like, didn't have the opportunity to succeed the way that they should have, and still somehow in that really short amount of time with us made a huge impact. And, you know, you see it a lot in music, you know, but it's a little rarer in professional wrestling. And, you know, I think we're all used to, I think the thing that for me, and I think I'm just, you know, I'm still trying to process this because this is still so fresh for all of us.
Yeah. I've literally found out about it like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the thing that is hardest for me is that as wrestling fans, our favorite wrestlers dying is not something that's new to us. Our favorite wrestlers dying young is not something that's new to us.
No, it's not.
You know, and the thing is most of the time you look at it and you say, man, you know, like, so-and-so was a great wrestler, but they couldn't get this shit together. They couldn't get that shit together. And, you know, like, with Brody and with fucking Bray, like, it's, you know, it's like they got sick and fucking, you know, it's just like such a, like, those aren't guys that were out fucking around. Those weren't guys that were taking drugs all the time and roided up and fucking doing coke all night and drinking constantly. Those were guys that were taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad, extra sad because of that, you know, and I think that, you know, as wrestling fans, you know, like, just being there and being supportive of each other, being supportive of the business is what I'd like to see happen, because it sucks when the only time we're all on the same page is when we have to fucking mourn people, man.
It does seem like that, don't it?
But, you know, to end it on a positive note, you know, like I'm genuinely glad that, you know, we got to witness that star burn bright. You know, we are incredibly lucky to share the planet at the same time as someone like that and get to witness his greatness, you know, because, you know, that's only an opportunity that a select few people have. And we were there for that instant in time, and that's it, you know. So I'm grateful for that. I'm sorry that it's over, though.
Yeah.
And that's it. I can't keep talking about it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about any of it, because like I've talked about it enough, and there's nothing else to say. So, I'm gonna really make Sean's night for some other shit I'm about to say.
This always makes me nervous when you start with that. All right, bring it on, big boy.
So before you know, all the news broke about, you know, Bray passing away, which is really shitty, I had another final thought planned out. And I'm just going to stick with it. So, Sean has said on this show many times, one of his least favorite human beings in this fucking business is that fucking absolute piece of human fucking excrement that stuffs himself in the fucking worst singlet possible and wears a title belt that fucking legends in this business have worn, and he thinks he's a fucking champ. So I'm just fucking
getting all tingly, baby. Come on, bring it.
I'm looking, and I see this news article today.
Is someone about to call their mama?
That worthless hunk of shit basically went out and said on Fox News, doing his bullshit that he does, of that he would assault his children if they shared their pronouns with him. Now, I'm going to make this abundantly clear, and this might sound rude, and I apologize, but let me finish my point. But I don't really give a flying fuck what your pronouns are. In my life, I don't care, because to me, a person is a person.
So what you're saying is you don't care if they have pronouns.
I don't care if they have them. I don't care, like, you know, all that. You're a person to me.
You're a person. That's your decision.
I give you love. I give you respect. You do you. It doesn't affect my life any. It doesn't change any. Like, I don't care about that kind of shit. But this motherfucker is going to stand there and say he'll hit his kids if they say it. I want to be as genuine as possible on this. I don't fucking care if my kids ever come to me and say, you know, I don't know, I feel different. I like boys when I think I should like girls, or I like girls when I think I should like boys. I don't care if they come to me and say, This is what I want, and this is who I feel I really am. Because I'm gonna love and accept my kids no matter what. Like, that shit doesn't faze me. Like that.
Well, yeah, and it's not that you don't care. You do care, right? You care about them, and the and honoring the choices that they make and what they feel is right.
What I don't care about is some fucking absolute 50-pound sack of dog shit stuffed in a 5-pound fucking bag, walking around
so much right now.
Walking around with a title belt from a company that is literally on its last fucking leg.
Beyond.
Getting fucking play on right-wing news media. And also, again, I don't care if you're right-wing or left-wing. I could give a shit. You fucking think and feel however you want to do. Vote for whoever you want. That's what we do. But, bro, do not fucking think you represent wrestling fans. the human race in fucking general being that kind of fucking scumbag to say something publicly like that. If you want to beat your kids behind doors, you're a fucking piece of shit, but go do it behind closed doors. I mean, make a joke about shit like that on a fucking, you know, worldwide news media outlet because you think it's clever and it's going to get some clicks or something. Or maybe that's just how you really feel. Maybe you will put your big fat fucking mitts on a small child that's just expressing some feelings or emotion to him. So, I mean, father of the fucking year, way to go. Which, ironically enough, I don't know how that's even possible because the man hasn't seen his dick in probably about the last 20 years. I don't know.
15. It's been at least 15. That guy's, yeah, it's so small and so hidden. He needs three mirrors to see that motherfucker.
It's so small and so hidden. That's why he has to call his mama. Or the fact
that somebody decided to find that fucking dick for him and actually breed with that fucking literally walking fucking human trash bag. Like, good, you know, good for her. Deserves a fucking award for that, for whoever that is. You know, stay in the shadows. Maybe you're in the witness protection program at this point. I don't fucking know. But, like, don't fucking have kids if your public opinion is going to be, I'd hit my kids if they express their true feelings and emotions to me. That's the most fucking ignorant dog shit I've ever heard. And I know Sean's ranted on about this motherfucker for a long time, and to be perfectly honest with you, I really don't fucking, you know, get into the political views and the shit like that. Like, I'd rather just, like, kind of ease off that. But when I heard that shit today, or excuse me, I read that shit today, yeah, it kind of set me off, man. I was like, this fucking clown. And Billy fucking Corgan, one of my favorite fucking singer-songwriters, one of my favorite bands of all time, is allowing this fucking sideshow to happen and encouraging it. So fuck him. Fuck the NWA. And this is the only time I'm going to say this.
And he promotes, I mean, not just allows, he promotes him as one of the best.
Yeah. He really.
I almost went off about Corgan saying, didn't he say something along the lines of he's one of the best NWA champs of all time?
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like Viscera stuffed inside Drake.
Big Daddy V getting stuffed in the fucking tiny Canadian. Jesus
Christ, yeah. Fucking Viscera.
I just want you both to know that I've never wanted to put some of my stuff and some of your stuff so bad as I do right now. I'm so attracted to both of you, bitches.
He's awful.
No, I think Tyrus has done more to ruin the fucking three letters of NWA, and I'm not even talking wrestling. I can't even play Fuck the Police right now because it just makes me think of Tyrus and I get fucking angry because that fucking cock smooch is the fucking NWA heavyweight champ sitting on Fox News talking about beating his kids for fucking wanting different pronouns. What
Don't
an absolute
kids.
Fucking cunt.
Don't beat your kids.
From that,
for any
I am rocking my cheer shirt tonight. Because daughter had her tryouts last night. She was super nervous. Got the email this morning. She made the team. So
awesome, man.
So you didn't have to go full Tyrus and whoop her ass for not making the team.
No. We went to dinner last night and she was a little down on herself. She thought she could have done better and all that shit, you know.
That's good. That's cool. That leaves plenty of room for improvement and to learn.
That's awesome, man. You tell her we said congratulations.
Yeah, that's kicks ass, man.
Even though she kicked our ass a couple months ago with that loser comment.
Bro, if you heard the conversation we had at dinner last night, man, you'd be like, I'm gonna fly out there and give you a hug because that girl's harsh as fuck. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I may have provoked her and said some shit. Actually, you know, I'll just tell the story. Fuck it. So I'm sitting there and she's fucking with me the whole time. We're at dinner and I got some salsa in a cup. And I'm like, man, I'm wearing a white shirt right now. I was like, I am concentrating on not spilling this on myself. I said, if you flick that salsa, I swear to God, Em, I'm going to fucking throw this hot sauce in your eye and I'm going to kick you in the tits. I swear this is going to happen.
Don't beat your kids, man.
Don't.
No, I wouldn't.
Beat your kids.
I wanted to, but also at the same time, her instant reaction, not a fucking hesitation, no hesitation whatsoever. Didn't bat an eye. She dead ass leans onto the table, looks me dead in the eyes, and goes, "Yeah, I can do the same to you." And then she goes, "Guess you didn't wear that extra large sports bra to dinner tonight, did you?" And I was like, "Fuck!" So I assure you, that is the type of child I am raising who's not going to take shit from anybody. Yeah, I'm like, "Oh yeah, is. Motherfucker, I'm going to cut you down real quick."
I love that kid.
Nice kid, Stan.
That's my daughter. And I'm going to tell you, after I got done crying about that for a minute, I was so proud of her. As I sat there at dinner the rest of the night, just like, "That's bitch. Cool, I'm going to eat."
Fuck bitch. Come across that table, fucking smack you with plate of green cheese.
She knows. I like that girl. She has zero fear of me whatsoever, man. She doesn't fear shit.
That's because you don't beat your.
That's kids. Exactly because I don't beat my kids.
Yeah, that's the final thought for this.
Is final thought for the evening.
Is DDJ got a final thought? Is he around?
Yeah, he's.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I figured that's what was going on.
I was looking right in the block when he showed up. Oh man.
Yeah, that's a good final thought.
I didn't know you had that mask.
For all those who are listening, it says Isaac's cock. I mean, thank you. Thank you, Bray. I don't mean to take away from your moment. No, thank you very much for everything. And yeah. Are you going to take
my bad.
Cut you off in a heartbeat. Hey, I want to read real quick. I want to read this to you guys. You okay with that? Everybody okay with that?
Read.
Do I need to stop recording?
No, keep it, man. This
okay.
It kind of goes on with what we were talking about.
Okay.
Wyndham Rotunda posted this August 7th, 2022. It says, "Wrestling is not a love story. It's a fairy tale for masochists, a comedy for people who criticize punchlines. A fantasy most can't understand, a spectacle no one can deny. Lines are blurred, heroes are villains, budgets are cut, business is business. But it can also be a land where dead men walk, where honor makes you elite, where demons run for office, and rock bottom is a reason to rejoice. It's an escape, a reason to point the blame at anyone but yourself for 2 or 3 hours, an excuse to be a big kid again, and nothing matters except the moment we are in. Wrestling is not a love story. It's much more. It's hope. And in a world surrounded in hate, greed, and violence, a world where closure may never come, we all know a place that has hot and cold hope on tap, for better or for worse."
Oh, man.
I just thought that was really good. I wanted to share that with you guys.
That's beautiful. That's a good place to end it. That's beautiful.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shoot and Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.